Good Friday morning. I'm Jake Sherman, and welcome to your Political Playbook audio briefing, sponsored by Pharma.
And I'm Anna Palmer. We're 53 days from Election Day, and a storm is barreling toward the East Coast. People will probably lose their lives and their belongings. The response to the storm already has some Republicans spooked. It's always sensitive to talk about the political impact of a storm of this nature. But with utility companies predicting power outages for weeks and roads already flooding, President Donald Trump's government will be under a microscope.
And yesterday, when he denied 3,000 people died in Puerto Rico following Hurricane Maria, the president showed he wasn't exactly savvy in dealing with suffering. A Top Hill Republican pointed out that North Carolina has several House seats up for grabs. If you combine government dysfunction with a dash of insensitivity, that has the potential to be a drag for the GOP.
The president's reaction to the travesty in Puerto Rico might be instructive in predicting how he could react to an electoral calamity in November. There are a bunch of districts across the country where the president's approval ratings are in the high teens. If Republicans lose the House, will he accept a scintilla of blame?
Hurricane Florence has hit land. The AP is reporting that catastrophic flooding is expected over the Carolinas. The National Hurricane Center said Friday that Florence is bringing with it a life-threatening storm surge. As of 11 p.m. last night, Florence had weakened to a Category 1 hurricane with 90-mile-an-hour winds off the North Carolina coast.
The fallout from the president's tweets about the death tolls in Puerto Rico from Hurricane Maria are continuing to reverberate. Our colleagues are reporting that behind the scenes, West Wing aides have perfected a Trump survival skill of ignoring the tweets. But while they may be able to ignore it, the AP is reporting in Florida that it is causing big problems for Republicans' efforts to woo Puerto Rican voters there.
Tommy Andrews, who was Paul Ryan's member services director, is headed to the White House Ledge Affairs shop. This is a big pickup for the White House, which has struggled at times in dealing with Congress or being sensitive to its political concerns. On the trade front, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the president told Republican donors earlier this week he wants to rebrand NAFTA as the USMC Pact for U.S., Mexico, and Canada, but he'll drop the C if Canada does not agree to the changes he wants.
FBI Director Christopher Wray spoke with Norah O'Donnell in a rare interview. He told her that Americans can have confidence in the midterm elections despite the Russian government's efforts to undermine it. Our colleague Josh Meyer reports that alleged Russian spy Maria Butina tried to get a meeting with President Trump in 2015, nearly a year earlier than prosecutors have publicly claimed.
Stephen Overly is up with a story on how Jeff Bezos took aim at Trump over his criticism of journalists last night, saying it is dangerous to demonize the media. The New York Times is reporting that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's English language spokesman has stepped aside following sexual assault allegations. On the investigations front, Josh Gerstein and Darren Samuelson report that a key pretrial hearing for Paul Manafort was delayed again amid reports that a plea deal is near.
Theo Meyer reports that recently released emails appear to show that lobbyists at Mercury and Podesta Group knew that Paul Manafort was working for the Ukrainian government, even though they didn't register as foreign agents until years after. Here's what's on tap for Trump's Friday. The president will get an emergency preparedness briefing at 2:30 p.m. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.